magnified as Silvera, prioritising Hector Pascal, but Silvera sprints hard and fast, grabs Elaine and Silvera. Silvera defeats Araja, flashing for second. Third magnified, followed by Hector Pascal.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
You like that, Jim, didn't you?
Hector Pascal's how good is that?
That was Silvera winning the Tat Smile at Eagle Farm yesterday. We heard earlier in our race replay, Sylvia's mother was highly impressed with winning up the straight at Flemington. And what was so extraordinary about it is Team Hawk sent her down early in the week, sight unseen up the straight, and she was still too good. And Wayne Hawks has been good enough to join us on the line. Wayne, good morning. And, well, I think it's fair to say you've got a pretty talented filly there in Sylvia's mother, Wayne.
Yeah, well, good morning, Ray. Everyone in Sydney saw her, but the Melbourne people got to see her for the first time yesterday. And gee, for a restricted horse, isn't she a spruce horse that the punters have loved to punt on? It was Thursday morning, the Herald Sun here. They did your trick up there 3 weeks ago when they backed her off the mat, and they did it again. So at least she had clear running and got the job done for the punters yesterday.
Was it always the plan, Melbourne, or did it come about on the back of that good trial that Ray mentioned?
It was always the plan. Look, if we'd never stayed in Melbourne, she wouldn't have come. But she only arrived actually Friday morning, so which is common for what we do. So she only got here Friday morning and raced Saturday. And look, that's what the interstate carnival people do, and they knock you off. But normally with our stable, they've always been to Melbourne. They've done education and things like that because we like to send them away when they're unraced. So when they do come back, like yesterday, they know where they're going. So, you know, we're just a little bit tougher for Sylvia, and you know that straight course. It's very unforgiving, and it's very, very tough because it's there's an old saying, horses for courses, and down the straight is exactly the same in as far as you either love it or you don't. And even those horses that love it, when they're out of form, it's amazing how they can just bob up. And you think, geez, how did that win at 10-1? Then you look at track and distance and see, you know, six starts, three wins, two
horses
seconds
for courses.
Yeah.
Yeah, would it have made a difference if she had to go anti-clockwise and it wasn't up the straight? Would you give her a bit more preparation?
Oh, no, not really. Would it be the same?
Yeah.
Would have just done as per normal. So just it was down the straight. But I suppose the advantage now is that we all know that she can handle the straight racing, and next time, even when she runs down the straight, it's going to be a lot tougher than the race that she ran yesterday. It'll be some black type race somewhere.
I was going to ask, Wayne, given that she's passed that test yesterday, rising four-year-old mare, she's by Snitzel. I know she's still eligible for easier races, but the temptation must be to, I guess, try and find some black type for her sooner rather than later now.
Well, that's what we're going to do, Ray. Where, I don't know. You know, the Ori Stars in 3 weeks' time, but you're taking on the open company horses. You're still a three-year-old filly. You might as well make it as easy as you can and, you know, put yourself in the best company and your horses in the worst, I reckon, and build your momentum up that way. So you're not going to go through win. I mean, you know, win some black caviar, as great as what they have been for our industry. Now, horses have got win alongside their name. Doesn't everyone just jump on the bandwagon real quick and just start giving them that extra bit of hype? So they've all got to get beat sooner or later. And as Colin Madden, part owner of Black Caviar, told me on Friday, he said, Wayne, this was all surreal. I didn't realise that horses go amiss and things go wrong. He said, just like you turn up every week and you win 25 in a row. And we're actually laughing about it. So.
We've got a question from a listener here, Herb. Ask Hawksy how Supernova is going. What's the preparation? Is the Metropolitan on the radar?
Supernova's an import that we bought. He's the first one we bought that we paid a lot of money for. He ran second at Rose Hill, and then he won his next start, and then he got beaten in the chairman's. So it was just too far back in the chairman's. He's on target for the Melbourne Cup. So is 400,000 other horses, but at the moment he's on song. Metrop, not so sure about the Metrop. To be honest, I wouldn't be rushing in to back him in the Metrop this early because we don't really know where we're going with him.
Okay,
New season just around the corner, Wayne, and horses like Sylvia's mother, who's a rising four-year-old, but you've got a lot of really promising younger talent as well. I'm thinking of horse like Spend, who won up here last week. Kappa Jack's been terrific through the winter. Caesar, we've only seen once in the winter dash. Gee, you must be excited, the team, about these young horses that are emerging into the new season for you.
Yeah, the exceedances and tropes and wild planets, and we've got a lot of really nice horses this season coming up, Ray. And it's probably the first time since we've left Ingham's that we've got them layered. And what I mean layered is in different age groups.
Yep.
Our yearling bats, I don't know. I don't know anyone's ability yet, really. It's too early, but gee, we've got a lot of lovely yearlings as well. So the old cake, layer upon layer upon layer. We've got some really nice young horses. And look, they won't all come up because they don't. But, at the moment, we obviously got Brutal. We forgot about him.
Can't forget about him. Yeah.
Poor bugger. Forgot about him. But obviously, he's the star of the stable. But there's a few others there that can certainly step up to the plate. So it's good. The race is going to be split this spring carnival with Sydney and Melbourne. So it's going to... Look, it's certainly going to play towards participants, that's for sure and certain. From race clubs' point of view, they're all fighting for the jockeys and the horses, but from our personal point of view with the owners and the trainers and the jockeys, I think it's fantastic, and we're going to have some good fun coming up and big decisions. Do we go to Melbourne? Do we go to Sydney? So I think it's a great thing myself.
As a punter, we're just spoilt for choice this coming season.
Stable's in a strong position. Good on you, Wayne. Well done yesterday on the win of Sylvia's Mother. Appreciate your time this morning.
Does anyone like that song, Sylvia's Mother?
No.
I don't. But,
What happened there? Dr. Hook gets a start from 1972.
Yes. Before my time, boys.
You know what? It's about... I read about
it. AC/DC or something, I reckon. Cold Chisel.
Well, we're talking about go-to karaoke songs, Wayne. Have you got one?
I stupidly, at my wedding, stood up and sung Video Kill the Radio Star, right? And that was my... that was probably my...
Never again, eh?
Well, you know what? That's why I ended up doing the National Anthem that year at Sandown, because they... They saw me on video doing the singing Video Kill the Radio Star. And Ray, I do rap myself as a singer. I have no ability and I don't have a voice, but geez, I give it a good hard go.
Good on you, mate.
Wayne, you'll be happy to learn that Ray Thomas belted out his version of Hey Jude last night
horrific
at a karaoke
too.
Bar
really?
In the city.
Absolutely horrific too, Wayne, I've got to tell you.
Yeah. I think the na-na-na part goes well.
Exactly. I couldn't muck that one up. Hey, good on you, Wayne. Thanks so much for joining us, mate.
Na-na-na-na.
He sings it better than I could.
Oh, that was very good. Yeah. Right, you need to respond, Raymond.
I can't.
In the strongest fashion possible.
No, I'm without doubt the world's worst singer. World's worst cook and world... Actually, my cooking's improved while I've been on holidays, isn't it, Tim?
Can I ask, if I felt that I was the world's worst singer, why did you get up and sing last night?
Because Jono, who it's his birthday, asked me about...
That's the great Jono Farr, yes.
About 28 times, and I thought, well, I can't let the great man down on his birthday, so...
What did Jono go to just out of interest?
Oh, everything.
he's still going.
He's sung everything, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. We're getting a lot of people putting in their songs here, which is not really our talk copy, but keep them coming.